Luke chapter 6. For those that don't know, Sunday morning we're going through the book of Luke. This afternoon, or Sunday evenings typically, we're going through 25 more psalms. Today we'll be in Psalm chapter 87. And then on Wednesday nights we do Old Testament, and we happen to be in Genesis. We'll be in Genesis chapter 42 this Wednesday, Lord willing, as well. This is called the Sermon on the Plain. You've heard the Sermon on the Mount. That's in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Plain, it's clear that it was flat land, but it has very similar instruction for Jesus, because what was good for the people that heard the Sermon on the Mount is also good for the people that were gathered here, and so it would be good for us as well. Title of the message, When Have We Learned Enough? When have we learned enough? Let's read Luke chapter 6, verse 39, and we'll go all the way through verse 49, the end of the chapter. Verse 39, And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? So mote would be what we would call today a splinter. A beam is just what you're thinking, a beam of wood. So when you see the word mote, we're worried about a splinter in somebody else's eye, and we got a beam in our own. And so let's read verse 41 again. And why beholdest thou the mote, or the splinter, that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 49, But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Again, title of the message is, When Have We Learned Enough? I want to talk this morning about four traits of a mature student. Let's look at verses 39 to 40. I want to talk about those a little bit. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Quickly, hold your finger in Luke. The next book is John. Turn to John chapter 9. I want to show you this passage. Familiar passage. I do refer to this quite often. John chapter 9, verse 39. John chapter 9, verse 39. John 9, verse 39, love to hear the pages of God's Word turn. It's a beautiful sound. Hopefully it's not only on Sunday that it happens, right? I'd encourage you, and that'll be really the heart of this message, is that we need God, and the way we can hear from God is from His Word. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into the world, verse 39, For judgment I am come to the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. I want to ask you this morning, are you blind? Now there's two ways to think about this question, right? So the first is, are you blind to the truth of God's word? Are you born again, right? Look at verse 39 in John. Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to the world, this world. He will be your judge. He will be my judge. I will not. He said, for judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see. And that they which see might be made blind. And you love this circular thing. He came that they which see not might see, and those that see might be made blind so that they might see. That's the goodness of God. That you hear this morning, the reason I'm asking you this is, do you truly have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? It's a personal relationship. It's not an intellectual assent. You wouldn't be in a church building, you wouldn't be in a Baptist church if you didn't have some acknowledgement of Jesus Christ to some degree. But I ask you this morning, is it personal? Do you know Christ? Now turn back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I want to show you here this morning. It says, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? How is it that you would avoid being blind? Verse 40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. I want you to understand this. Jesus meant the word perfect there. If you're born again, you've been made perfect. Understand this. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a schizophrenic. Really, it's kind of biblical. There is a new man that is perfect and holy and never sins, and you still have this old man, the flesh, that you must subdue and that you will be held responsible for. And if this flesh sins, you're responsible for it, though it really isn't you. Not making excuses for you, but the real Steve is perfect. And let me tell you this, if you are born again, you will follow the master. Interesting this past week. So let me just give you my first thought and then I'll talk about it. If you want to have a trait of a mature student, you will continual education. You will constantly be learning, constantly be searching the scripture, constantly want to know about Christ. Figure out ways to get yourself in this book and be interested. Many times, and I've been there, done that, too many times, years of my life, weeks of my life, months of my life, where I've read the Bible because I am supposed to. And it's the right thing to do because some preacher on Sunday morning says, if you neglect God's word, he's going to get you. Or some other words like that. That's really not what I'm here to preach, that he's going to get you, but you will be malnourished. But I've been there, right? Where the Bible tastes like cardboard. The Bible's not cardboard. The Bible is so delicious. It's so good. And I'm telling you this, you need to find a way that the Word of God is delicious, nutritious, and delightful for you. So that you find a way to get into the Word of God and search the Scriptures, not just for information, so that you would know the author of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He's both the written Word and he's the living Word. And so you've got to figure that out. A young man was invited just this past week. His dad invited him. He said, son, won't name his name, why don't you come to this Bible study with me? And he looks at his dad, and he was dead sincere, and he goes, no, that's okay, Dad. I go to church on Sunday. And that's what most of you think. Let me help you understand, if we do not continually seek the Scriptures to know Christ and to know the author of the Bible, then we will suffer for it. That young man, I think he's a saved young man. I've heard his testimony, but you know what? He is satisfied with Jesus 1 hour a week. Had a couple just this past week, and I said, how would your relationship go if you just said, hey, see you next Sunday, 11 to 12:15, and, you know, if he's really good, maybe it's 12:10. And so, and then you'd say, I'll see you next week. Would that be much of a relationship? And then all of a sudden you say, hey, I'm going to have a Bible study with the pastor. I'll see you on Saturday at 1, Sunday at 11. Will you marry me? Nobody in their right mind would marry you. But that's the way we treat Jesus. see on Sunday. I know enough. I recalculated it yesterday. You've heard me say if Baptists, we meet a lot. We meet a lot, right? So it's so funny. People aren't aware of Baptists much anymore because if somebody starts coming to all the services in a Baptist church, we're called a cult. We have Sunday school at 10 o'clock. We have morning worship, which you're at right now. We have Sunday night, and we have Wednesday night. And so we meet a lot, and there's other times we meet, but we do. We meet a lot. So if you come Sunday morning, Sunday school, worship time, and you come four times a week, and imagine there's 45 minutes of preaching. And so I try to bring the average up just in case the other times are shorter. So that's why I go longer. But imagine if you get 45 minutes of training each of those four services and you go to church 30 years. I calculated it yesterday. Do you know what the requirement is for kindergarten? You know how many hours a full-time kindergarten student has to go to school in order to get out of kindergarten? 910 hours. Then it increases in seventh grade, you got to go 1,011. That's specific for Ohio. So what I calculated is you go to church 30 years, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, what would your equivalent grade level education be? Between third and fourth grade. Over 30 years. Do you think you would learn much? I want to tell you this. If all you do, the only time you're in the Bible, you know what you'll be able to do? You'll be able to, Polly wants a cracker, you'll be the parrot, the preacher. You'll be able to tell people what I believe. You'll be able to tell people what I say, but you won't be able to prove it. And when you're having trouble, you won't be able to find it. See, you can't live on what I believe. You can't live on what I preach. You've got to know it. It must be personal. But the question is, are you satisfied where you're at? That young man, and I'm not beating that young man up. He was satisfied. He had enough Jesus. I don't need to go to a Bible study. I go to church on Sunday. He has a girlfriend. I'll guarantee you he spends more than an hour and a half with her. You know why? He loves her. What I want to encourage you with is you want to have the abundant life. But see, it's the abundant life in Christ. See, there's an abundant life that the world wants to give, and it's usually about things and stuff and pleasure and selfishness, and it's all about you. But the abundant life that Christ talks about, it's all about Him. The abundant life with Christ is that you would lose your life. You can really understand this. When you talk, is it about you? Or is it about Jesus Christ? You can find out what people prioritize by what they talk about, what they spend time on, what their passion is. And what I want to tell you this morning is, when have we learned enough? For this young man, and it's not unusual. For this young man, he said, Sunday morning's good for me. You know what I would suggest? He may be saved. He has not tasted the sweet nectar of the communion and the fellowship and the joy with the Lord Jesus Christ that says, there's no better place to be, there's no better thing I could do than spend time with Jesus Christ and live for Him. And I know this, life gets busy. It's why I love bringing Clay, Indiana up here, right? I mean, I remember we would pray about this, right? Because when they just had Josiah and Elodie, they're just like, we're struggling. We're struggling. So you know what I loved about their commitment? They're like, we're getting up at 4:30. That's going to be our time with the Lord. And then they, not 4:30, you know, I'm giving you a little break, 5, right? Was it 4:30? You don't love Jesus that much, loser. Yeah. So I don't love Jesus enough to get up at 4:30 either, but Jesus stayed up all night. But they were struggling, you know, just with two. They wanted time with the Lord because they had tasted the sweet nectar. And man, they were just tired. And when you're tired, Clay's faults look worse. And then Deanna's are just accentuated beyond reason when you're tired. And it was just, it's a struggle. So I've told them, write a book, I'll buy it. You still have to figure out how to spend time with Christ. But it might be with a baby in your arms. But it's, life's going to take you by storm. Life's going to be busy. But what's important to you? I want to tell you, if you just rely on Sunday morning, I'm going to suggest this. You are the blind that Jesus is talking about. You might be saved, but you don't know how to walk. You won't know what God wants. If all that you want to know about the Bible is what I preach, then I would suggest you are leading your family without really understanding truth, and it would be an application of the blind leading the blind. But look at verse 40. He said, the disciple is not above his master. He said, but everyone that is perfect, so this would be Jesus speaking of, I believe, the saved, shall be as his master. See, that is nirvana. That is the greatest thing a Christian could ever be, is that we would be like our Savior. We would be like Jesus. But in order for us to even have a clue if we're like Jesus, is we have to know Jesus. We have to study him. But are you satisfied? When have we learned enough? I will tell you, I believe this for all eternity. I will be learning. You understand, when I'm given a perfect body one day, that doesn't mean I'll be omniscient, all-knowing. I won't be. Only God is the all-knowing, ever-existing God. But I will be like him. I will have a perfect mind, but I believe it'll be a mind that will get to sit under the feet of Jesus, and I'll get to learn, and he'll be able to teach and preach, and I will just grow in my love for Christ even in eternity. I think there's going to be nothing better. You see, I believe that with all my heart, and I experience that with all my heart. The best times in my life are when I'm in the Word of God and I am with people and I am by myself many times just trying to enjoy the Lord. But the question is, when have you learned enough? Are you seeking to know more? Part of it is, let Jesus be your teacher. Let the Word of God be your teacher through the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you this, I don't know other churches. I'm a little bit sheltered. But I know at Hope Baptist Church, I promise you this. If you're sitting there today and you say, I need help, we will help you. We will teach you. We will sit down with you. We will help you. We'll pour our lives into you, and it'll be imperfect. We're not trying to be your hero. But I want you to know this. What we are going to do is we are going to open the Word of God, and we are going to seek the face of God, and we are going to try to study this book together, and you'll be able to ask questions. You can't ask questions this morning. If you try, I would probably ignore them. So you know this is what's called a monologue. One way. Bible studies, you can talk to me, you can ask questions. I promise you this, if you're sitting there this morning, you go, well, you know, I do this. I will tell you, if you want this, I'll do it. I give away children's Bible storybooks to all kinds of people. If you're struggling getting to the Bible, start with a children's Bible storybook. Understand, it's not the perfect Word of God, but it's better than you just saying, well, you know, it's just too difficult and you not getting into the book. I'll show you how to use that. I'll show you how to use a tool. I want you to know the God that you say you're counting on him for eternal life. It's the key to life. Jesus said this to the people that said they believed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Those are two believers. Because I'll tell you what the devil wants. He wants you just to be a mess even after you're saved. If you begin to get into the Word of God, I would expect a little trouble as well. So you got to understand Christianity. I'm not saying when you get into the Word of God that's going to solve all your problems. In fact, I think it'll increase them. Because if you're not in the Word of God, and the devil is happy just to leave you alone because he knows better than you do, you don't see the way you should see. And the devil's pleased. He's the one that blinds the eyes of the lost. But I think he would love to do that for the saved as well. He wants you to be sleepy. He wants you to be lethargic. He wants you to stay away from the Word of God. I believe this with all my heart. He would rather you go to church than read your Bible 7 times a week. I think you ought to do both. He would rather you go to church than be in God's Word where you're seeking the face of God. Remember this. This is the thought I don't want you to forget this morning. If you're sitting there this morning and you say, I do need help. I want help. We'll get you help. Men with men, women with women. Will you let us teach you? Will you let us study the Word of God together? I want you to understand, if you want to honor Jesus Christ, We need to know him, and we need to know what he wants us to do. Somebody asked me a great question recently. They said, why did God, because they were struggling because they were thinking you get to heaven by following the commandments, right? And they asked me, they said, well, why did God give us the commandments? Well, first, he gave it to everybody in the world so that the Bible says this. He gave us the commandments that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before him. He wants us to know, you're in trouble, 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 you're in trouble. And when I looked in the mirror when I was a young boy, I was really in trouble. Nobody had to tell me, you know, hey, if you just disobey one commandment, you're in trouble. I disobeyed tons of commandments. I mean, I was pretty slick. I could maneuver things. And when God got a hold of my heart, he let me know this, I'm in trouble. Some people think that sounds crazy, that an 8-year-old could understand that he is in trouble before God. You better believe it. I lied. I was mean. I bullied people. I got my way. I was all about Steve. I still have to fight that to this day, being all about Steve. I was so clear as an 8-year-old that I had sinned against God, and for a number of years, I didn't care, because as long as it works out for Steve. When it didn't work out, I had to face my dad. And I'm thankful for spankings, because spankings taught me one thing, sin hurts. My dad was really effective at it. He didn't abuse me in any way, shape, or form, but he let me know. He never did say this. This will hurt me worse than it hurts you. No, I think his goal was, I'm going to make sure this hurts you worse than it hurts me. And I was like, man, you get an A+. Good job. I love them. They taught me this simple thing. Sin causes pain. Sin will mess my life up. Sin will destroy my life. As an 8-year-old boy, I asked Jesus to save me. And you know what? He did. Still have this flesh. You hang around me. You won't be impressed. I'm not trying to be impressive. I just want to point you to the impressive, perfect Savior. It's Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you want to learn more about him, or have you learned enough? Is this morning enough for you? It should concern you greatly. Never forget this. What kind of relationship do you want with Jesus Christ? Do you want to walk with him and talk with him and serve him and love him? Because I will tell you this, if you're a Christian, he comes along with your sin as well. Mm-hmm. Your sneaky sin? Jesus is there. If you understand that, that's overwhelming. If you need help, we'll help you. Jesus said, if you have been made perfect, you will follow the Master. Are you following the Master? Second thing I want you to see is self-reflection. A little bit different perspective on this. You've heard this. This is really, it's from Matthew 7 as well, the Sermon on the Mount. But look at this. Jesus says, why are you looking at the splinter in your brother's eye and you've got a beam in your own eye? He says, why don't you get the beam out of your own eye and then you can get your brother and help him with the splinter in his own? What that is, that's just self-reflection and self-reality. I want you to understand this. Christians, we are not here to correct people. Now, some of you that have Bible studies with me, you'd be like, I wish you'd remember that when you were with me. I'm not trying to correct you. Sometimes when I spout what I think is true, I'm doing it for your help. I'm not picking on you, but you got to understand this. I've been looking in the mirror longer than most people in this room. Nearly everybody I have a Bible study with is younger than me, except for Don. Don is like so much older than me. It's just incredible. I mean, I need to be respectful to my elders. I'm glad you're still kicking today, Don. Good to see you. So I forgot about that. Is there any other old guys that I meet with? Ancient of days. Let me see. I don't think so. Oh, yeah, there's Bill. There's Bill, yeah. Now, Don looks a lot older than you, Bill, and I'm not supposed to say that in front, but just ignore that I said that. I forgot how old Bill is. But I'm noticing that as he limps with his plantar fasciitis. So forgot about that. And Jill's a lot older than me too, right? I'll tell you how old Jill is later and how much she weighs, because everybody knows that those are just totally acceptable topics. And but so most people are younger than me when I teach them, and I want you to understand this. So there's so many people that I love being with you. When I tell you this, my job's not to correct you. My job is not, if I'm ever in a Bible study, you call me on this, and you feel like I'm beating you up for your sin, That is never what I want to do. What I want to do is I want to challenge you. I don't want you to miss the message of the Bible. A young man told me recently, he said, I just feel like I'm spinning my wheels. And I said, I'm not surprised you're spinning your wheels, because you're not doing what God told you to do, and I don't expect Him to help you with your wheels. God's not punishing you. You understand the difference? But the blessings of God will flow when you just say, is that what you want, God? That's what I'll do. And I would expect your wheels to get a little traction. And I would expect your wheels to go in the direction that God wants you to go. So if you feel like, yeah, my wheels are spinning, look up. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you honoring Him? Because He's not... God gets blamed for punishing us. It's consequences. If I choose not to honor and obey God, I should not expect to see His blessings. It's not God being mean. It's just how He has designed everything. He says, you want my blessings? Obey me. I told it in Sunday school this morning, you're not earning God's love. God's love, I'm telling you, does not waver for His children. I want you to understand that. I don't think it wavers for the love that He talks about in John 3:16. I'm talking as a believer in Jesus Christ, God's love does not waver. I don't earn it. My behavior doesn't affect it. God's love is at 100% maximum, and He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. But I want you to understand this. If I want the blessings of God, it comes through obedience. It comes through obedience. Self-reflection. Understand this. We ought to help people. But it's not correcting people. Call me out in a Bible study, and I'm sure that I have done that before. I'm not saying I haven't. I don't want to do that, and I will apologize if I do that in a Bible study and you feel like I'm judging you and hammering you and just coming down on you as though I'm better than you. That would be sin on my part, and I'm not saying I'm beyond that. It would be wrong. You understand that? We are to help one another. We are to encourage one another, but in truth. So if Randall's not doing what's right, and there's a pattern of that, right? I'm not going to jump on him right away. I mean, I've got people that are spying on him, keeping an eye on him, but, you know, I'm the last to find out about things. But I love this man so much. I'm willing to lose your friendship in order to help rescue your life for Jesus Christ. I believe you're a saved man, but you know what? Saved man. Have you ever seen a saved man derail? You ever seen a saved preacher derail? I will tell you, there's nothing worse and nothing sadder, right? But I'll tell you this, if this old saved preacher derails, won't you come and love me? Won't you just help me? That doesn't mean I can be a preacher again. I'm not saying that. But see, I'm not coming to judge you. You understand that? I'm coming because I want to help you. But what happens is when we get away from God and we're in sin, we think, oh, you know, I've heard it before. I've heard it before. Somebody told me just this past week. I don't know why they go to the church there. They said, yeah, every time I walk in that church building, everybody's just looking at me, judging me. You know, probably not. I think it's conviction of sin. I said, get right with God and tell me next week if they're still looking at you. You know, but I've heard that a million times, right? It's this. If we are doing that, that would be sin. We just want to help people. How much is enough with the Lord? See, mature students will continually learn, and they'll have self-reflection. They'll have humility, they'll not be delusional, and they'll just truly be interested in others. Traits of a mature student, they'll have good fruit. Look at verse 42 to 45. Look at verse 43, excuse me. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. I'm going to make a, look at this, verse 45. A good man, the only way you can be a good man is you must be born again. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. I want you to understand this. I'm going to speak this just clearly. What is fruit? I believe fruit is this. It is reproducing yourself. So I want to ask you this. If you're a mature student, you will have fruit. You will have people that God has given you that you can invest in, that you're able to help. And I know sometimes you feel like you're not helping them, you're helping them, you're not helping them, you're helping them. It's a roller coaster. I'm a roller coaster with the Lord. But I want to ask you this. It's about people. It's about people. That's fruit. God saved us because it's about people. It's about His glory, His honor, His goodness, and Jesus Christ came to honor the Father, but He came for people. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So what I want to ask you is, I want you to examine your life. Are there any people in your life that are good fruit that you are investing in and God's using you to change their life, to help their life? God's the one that changes. But for you to share the truth, see, I want to get real pointed. Because if fruit is just the fruits of the Spirit, and if fruit is my actions, then I don't know how to deal with this verse. Because this verse would say that a good tree doesn't bring forth corrupt fruit. And if fruit is just sin, Stephen, I don't know how to deal with this. But if fruit is people, as bad as I am and as just, you think you get upset and irritated with me, I do more. I do more. Not enough. I need to be irritated more. One of my prayers all the time is, God, don't let me hurt your people. But I will tell you, I don't think I have corrupt fruit. That's not me patting myself on the back. That's all because of the grace of God. That's all. And I want to ask this. I think there are many believers in here, you don't have corrupt fruit. You're not corrupting people. Now, if you're out there corrupting people, that should be a red flag, because if this verse really is, in its essence, about people, and you are dragging people down, helping people sin, and you're leading people to sin, and that's your objective, and that's what you're doing, then I'm telling you that's a red flag, and I would ask you to examine your heart whether you be in the faith. The Bible says a good tree brings forth good fruit, but I want to ask you this. Do you have people? Do you have individuals? Do you have people that you, by God's grace, that you pray for them, that you love them, that you're trying to figure out, how can I steer them to focus and love the one true God? See, that's the fruit I think the Bible's talking about here, and that's the result of a student, that you will tell, teach others what you're learning. Do you have good fruit? How are you influencing people? Are you influencing people for evil or for Christ? You see, if you're not influencing people for Christ, I believe you're influencing them for evil. There's no neutrality in Christianity. You understand this? It is either I'm going to influence you and point you to the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, or I'm just going to make you think you're just fine because we're just the same. There's no neutrality. You ought to have a piece of paper after this service. You ought to write this down. Who are the people that I would consider good fruit in my life? What I'm telling you is, it doesn't mean necessarily that they have to be saved. But are you pouring your life, pouring your soul, pouring your heart in knowing and teaching people what you've learned? Do you even have anybody? And if the only people you can mention are your kids, it's a red flag. Didn't say you're not saved. God understands that my kids are going to be the center of my heart, the apple of my eye. But I will tell you, aren't you glad that Jesus came for all? I want you to understand this. A mature student will have good fruit. Do you have people that you are influencing for the cause of Jesus Christ and His gospel? You know what I tell you to do? Here's what I tell you to do. If your answer is no, and if people were truthful in this audience, I will guarantee at least half of this audience says there's nobody in my life that I am directing and influencing for Jesus Christ. That terrifies me as a preacher. You know what I would encourage you to do? You tell me, let's get in the Word of God, let's ask God to help you, because I'll tell you this, there's no greater joy than to be able to serve the Lord and to be able to pour your life into people. My life wasn't about people for much of my life. Just so you know, I'm not a people person. You guys get on my nerves, and I'd rather not be around you. I know, vice versa, right? But understand this. You know what I've learned over the years? I've learned this. That's what God wants me to do, Brother Lee. So you know this? Guess I got to put up with Michelle. Right? She thought she'd look down, right? When, you know, no, Michelle. So, you know, I'm looking at you. You know, I want you to understand this. People don't believe that. I would rather be by myself. I'm a great guy. I really like, enjoy my company. But it's this. I want you to know this. My wife taught me this a long time ago. There she is. I used to be the guy, I've told you this before, that would go out and sit in his car when church was over. You know, in the wintertime, you know, you'd make little smiley faces on the window and wait for my wife, and I would say, tonight, I'm going to wait 30 minutes and I'm not going to be upset. You imagine sitting in a car for 30 minutes, how long that is? And I would imagine this when she was in there. I thought, she's looking out the window, just seeing how far she can push me. Oh, she wasn't. She wasn't. But you know how we make that stuff up, right? We make that stuff up, right? She used to read her Bible, and I never used to read my Bible when in our early marriage. And I just thought, oh, she's faking. She just opened her Bible every time I walked by. Because she never would say, have you read your Bible today? No, you see, you know what she learned a long time ago that I didn't learn? That there's no better place to be when you got a free minute than to be with God in His Word. And you know, she also learned a long time, way before I did. She said, you know what's really interesting? God said to love the brethren, and you know what? These people are actually enjoyable to be with because they love Jesus Christ. And so I decided to join her and just say, what's this all about? And I'm a church rat now. I love this. One of our guys, he struggles with anxiety, and many of you might. And here's what his goal is, because I challenge him during Bible studies, and I'll say, I want you to shake three people's hands this week that you didn't shake last week, and I want you to get out of your seat and move. He said, okay. He said, I have a new goal. This is his new goal. He said, I have determined I'm not going to be the first one that leaves church from now on. I'll be the second. And I told him, I said, you know what? Eventually, you'll be the third. And eventually, you'll be the fourth. And eventually, you'll be turning out the lights. God's ways are better. You see, ministry's about people. You want good fruit? It's about people. You know, programs are a lot easier to do than people. But people are way more rewarding. I'm encouraged when I see people here that I want to help every single person in this room if I can. I've got one life to live, and it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? I won't be able to help people in heaven. They'll be perfect. But maybe we can help each other. You see, you want to be a student of God's Word. All of a sudden you realize this. Oh, it's about people. It's not about church. It's about people. Final thought. Students of God's Word will have wisdom. Students of God's Word will have wisdom. You know the story. Wise man built his house upon a rock. And there's a great reference, I think, to the rock of Jesus Christ. Make sure he's your foundation. There'll be a great reference to the foundation in Psalm 87 this afternoon. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. When the waters come, the man that built his house. There are several things I want you to see. It's wisdom. And it'll be evidenced by obedience and preparation. Look at verse 46. Jesus says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You tell me you're a Christian. You tell me he's your Lord, and yet you don't do what he says. Jesus says, why do you call me that? And then he says this. He gives this illustration. And so true wisdom would be evidenced by preparation and obedience, that we're prepared. I'm not waiting for the calamity to come. I want to be prepared. I want to honor God when things go terribly. I need to be prepared. And so I don't know when the rains are going to come, when the storm's going to come, but I want my foundation to be on Christ. How do I have my foundation on Christ? Because the answer to the question when I ask, when have we learned enough? What's the answer? Never. But then the question is, does my life reference that I'm thirsty after God? Probably not. I want to encourage you this morning. You want to be a mature student? It's about Christ. You're not alone. We will help you. We'll pour our lives into you. And I'm just telling you this, I expect to see a change. Is Keaton here this morning? He's not. He texted me this morning. Keaton's in a better place. Many of you and Stephen Tillery and I think Joe and Seth and others have invested in Keaton. While I beat him up, you build him up. And Keaton, he's been coming. All he did is he said, I'm just going to try to do what the Lord wants. So he texted me this morning, and he's got this new job, and he's working it out, but he has to go to work right after the service. So he was going to be here this morning. I'm not discouraged at all. He is just simply trying to do what he knows God would have him to do. Keaton tells people about Jesus. Keaton talks about Jesus, and he's putting himself out there. And I love that. Do you know this? It's a credit to the people of Hope Baptist Church. Keaton knows this. Keaton was baptized almost 1 year ago. I was concerned, and I brought it to the church. Keaton be okay if I told him this? If not, he'll let me know. I was concerned whether Keaton would truly follow through. I thought Keaton wanted to be baptized, and that would be kind of it. And sure enough, he fulfilled my thoughts. And I would stay in touch with him, but I told him this. So we've just now, again, begun to have Bible studies. I told him this. He said, will you meet with me? I said, no, not if you don't come to church. I said, you want my private instruction? You're going to get my public instruction. Once a week. You come once a week, I'll give you my time. And I would stay in touch with him, and you guys loved him better than I did, and you loved him back in. And what I want to tell you is, he's walking where he needs to walk today. And you ought to see his countenance. It's different. Not just about coming to church. He made a commitment to Christ and said, whatever Christ wants me to do, I'm going to try to do that. He already started this job, and he said, I can't work Wednesdays, and I can't work until Sunday at 1. And obviously they pushed it a little bit today. But isn't that good? What he's learning is God's ways are better. It's not about rules. I'm just telling you, you want to have a life that is consecrated to Christ. Do what he says. When have you learned enough? We're here to help. If Hope Baptist Church is known for one thing, I pray it's Jesus Christ. But I pray if it's a second thing, that we will teach you the Bible. And don't be ashamed. When have you learned enough? Never. Let me tell you why I sin. You know why I sin? Foolish ignorance. If I knew everything God knew and saw sin the way God saw sin, it would be so ugly to me I would never sin. When I'm deceived by the devil and I'm fooled by the devil and I let my temper get to me or whatever else might happen to me, then I'm a fool. I've let the devil deceive me. And it's probably because I haven't immersed and been soaking in his word, and I've let things cross my mind, and I start thinking negatively, and then I'm going to act negatively. I need God's word. Haven't arrived. I'm not here to tell you I have arrived. I'm not here to make it about me. I want you to know this. Do you want this? Do you want to be a mature student? Do you want to keep studying? Do you want to have just self-reflection where you can minister to people with the hard things, but you're not picking on them? And then finally, do you want to make a difference with people? People. I started this morning, and I'm almost finished. I started this morning to ask this question. Are you truly a Christian? Does it matter to you whether you honor Christ or not? Or you just want to go to a church that just kind of makes you feel good, and then you go home and do your own thing? Plenty of those out there. I'm not trying to make you miserable. I just know this. If you don't do it God's way, misery will come. Sometimes it takes a long time. I'm just telling you, you want the abundant life that Christ speaks about? It's in knowing Him, knowing His ways, and serving Him. If you think you're lost this morning, don't leave until you allow me, other folks, to sit down with you, show you in God's Word how your sins can be removed by simple faith in Jesus Christ. Then He's going to radically change your life. Let's pray. Father, I need this.